start getting into a little bit more of the how-tos. And so this week I've named this talk Words That Edify. And you know, a lot of people go, edify, man, that's a biblical term. What does that mean? I mean, what does that really mean? I mean, edify. I mean, it's not like something that we use in our vernacular today. It's like, what does that mean? And so what that means is words that uplift, words that encourage, build up. You know, I looked it up in the Vines, and it actually said the word edify actually means the building of the church. And I went, huh, well, I learned something new. And so words that edify, we can do this individually, and we can also do this corporately. And that's what I like about God, is he always has our best in his heart at all times. So if we're alone just with him, we can speak words that edify and build us up. It's called praying in tongues. We can do it corporately. When, you know, when we worship in tongues, when we worship the Lord and bless him and bless each other and speak encouraging words to one another, whether it's through prophecy or words of knowledge, whatever that is, those are words that edify. They build us up. They encourage us. They build the church. And the church isn't a building. It's us. So I thought, man, you know, that's really good, Lord. And so I want to start reading, and we're going to go back to our base scriptures, and that's James chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Remember, we talked about that. It was other people's tongues that you can't tame. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made after the similitude or likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And then let's read our other base scripture, Proverbs 18. Verse 20 and 21 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So remember last week, I went through and I gave you some basics, like number one, we're speaking spirits made after the likeness and the image of God. So we're not just animals here, but we are speaking spirits who have been created in the image of God. So words that we need to be speaking. We're getting out of debt. We're paying off our house or our cars. And it's happening for me today. Getting your words in line with what God says. Getting your words in line with what God says will help you to see your words beginning to agree with God. And your words start working mightily in your life. Let me put it to you this way. How many of you think that words are a way to express your emotions or your feelings or to communicate something to someone? That's absolutely incorrect. And if that's what you think it is, then we've got some growing that we need to do. I know I had to. So what I'm saying is, if you're thinking that your words are only a way to communicate or express your feelings or emotions, that is incorrect. That is not the way God designed your words to be. It says in James 3:12, let's go back there and let's look. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Think about this. When God came to create the earth and the universe and what we see, did he just remark about the darkness? Or did he command light? See, it's not just enough for us to comment on something. That changes nothing. Jesus God didn't stand there and say, wow, look at the darkness. Wow, look how dark it is. It's pretty dark. He didn't do that, did he? He said, no. He said, light be. Next week, we're going to get into the power of be. So, think about it. Listen to yourself and listen to others. Are they just communicating? Are they just expressing frustration, emotions, feelings? Or are they taking command of their words and actually not remarking, but remaking their situation? Man. Now, you may ask this question, as I'm listening to others and myself, am I developing? Am I making any progress on the words that I'm speaking? Here's how you know if you're developing. You'll go days and you're not going to miss anything on what you say. Your words are going to be put to work. They're going to either work for you or against you, according to Proverbs 18, 20 and through 21. They're either going to speak life or they're going to speak death. Right? Who makes you say what you say? Who molds what you say out of your mouth? You do. That's right. So therefore, we can change what's coming out of our mouths, right? Let me put it to you this way. Anthony, our youngest son, he came back this summer from, he's in the military, stationed in Great Falls. And the base that he's stationed at has been through a lot of troubles. They have found people cheating and leaders not leading. And I mean, it's been on the news. It's been everywhere. I mean, you know, and I've really felt for him emotionally. And so when he came home, his desire, he was trying for a palace chase, which I'm not a military wife, so I don't know, you know. But basically what it is that he could switch from Air Force to, like, National Guard and then go to school. And so he just wanted to get out of the military. He was just really discouraged. Everything that came out of his mouth was, the military stinks. I mean, this, you know, nothing's going right for me. I mean, just blah, 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 you know? And he came here for a whole month. And I'm telling you, every time he would say something like that, we'd say, yeah, but God. You know what? You never know who you're going to run into, son, that you're going to be able to change their life because God has you in a place. Son, you look at what you've got. Look at the benefits you have. Look at, you know, you've got your medical. You've got your dental. You got your eye care. You got, I mean, you know, you've got housing allowance. You've got all of these non-taxable goodies that are attached to your check that we don't have that opportunity. We just, anything that he would say negative, we countered for a month. And boy, I'll tell you what, Andy and I, we were like going, whew. Okay, Lord, we're not sure he's getting it. But I mean, we just worked and worked and worked at it. And you know, by the time he left, the morning he was packing up his stuff, he said, you know what? He says, I'm gonna go back and I'm going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I never know who I'm going to touch or impact when I get back there. I mean, he had totally changed the words that were coming out of his mouth, because what was he around? Positive, encouraging, edifying, not remarking about a situation, but remaking his situation. And you know, to this day, he is a positive speaker. He has just changed. It's revolutionized who he is at that base. And as a matter of fact, I just talked with him this last week, and he said, you know what? He says this Palace Chase came up again. And he says, I'm just going to keep putting in for it. And he says, I'm not going to be negative about it, but God's got plans for me, and the military isn't those plans. So I was like, praise God. Look at the change that he's gone through with his words. You know, it says in James 3 that the tongue is like a bit that we put in the horse's mouths or a rudder on a ship. Well, in American vernacular, it's the steering wheel of our car. It's the steering wheel of our vehicle that takes us where we want to go, right? So if we're speaking negative death, we're off the road. It's called off-roading, and it's dangerous. But if we're speaking the word, that thing is going to guide and direct us and keep us on that nice road that God has planned for us, that easy path that God has planned for us. But if we go, woo, we go off-roading, it could eventually kill us. So our words are the steering wheel of where are we going with what God has placed in our heart to do. It's kind of a cute little thing. Anyway. So we need to learn how to not use our words just as commenting on a situation or speaking what we feel about a situation or speaking the emotion, the frustration, the anger, the whatever it is, but we need to make our words work for us. Now, when you use words to work for you, you've got to be paying attention. Are they speaking life or are you speaking death? Because those are both working words, right? Then there's just plain old lazy words that are called idle words. In other words, they're neither negative nor positive, but they also hold no power in them. So let's read through that in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 33. Whoops. All right. It says, In verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure or the good deposit in your heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil deposit, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account in the day of judgment. For by your words are you justified, made right, or by your words you are condemned, sentenced. We don't want to sentence ourselves. That word idle in the Greek means unproductive or negative words. In other words, they're not producing anything. You know, in Proverbs 18:20, you know, we're never to talk decrease, only increase. And now think about it. This world system doesn't know how to speak positive words about anything. We're going down. The economy's in the dumpers. Oh, there goes the stock market. It's going down. We're going down in a pile of flames. It's always negative. It's because Satan takes everything that God designed for good, which is our words, to speak positive things, and he twists it so that everything within us wants to say the negative thing. You know, for a couple of months now, I've been really struggling with speaking some negative things where I work, just because of the situation that I've been in. Not in the place where God called me to be. It's been frustrating, and you know, and I was told, you know, you're just going to have to deal with it. You're just going to have to do it. And I'm like, I don't want to, you know. But I'll tell you what, when I stopped complaining and just remarking over my situation, making the comments, expressing the frustration, and I started remaking what I wanted to come to pass, this last week I was absolutely delivered and set free. Isn't that awesome? So it can be done. Your confessions that come out of your mouth, you know, a lot of people, they parrot things. This is one that irritates me. I'm blessed. Because that's all they hear from Andrew. I'm blessed. How are you? I'm blessed. The difference between the other people that are saying it and Andrew is Andrew believes it. Other people are just parroting it. And, you know, even Andrew one day, he says, how come you don't say I'm blessed? And I said, because everybody says that as a mimic to you. And I said, I am blessed, and I know it. But I'm not just going to walk around and go, I'm blessed, I'm highly flavored. I want it to be something that's in my heart that I believe. So confessions are not just parroted. In other words, pretty bird. Isn't that what a parrot does? He mimics everything that's said around him, and sometimes you don't want that to be mimicked. It's okay to start out parroting the word, but you need to move from parroting to believing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word of God. What's the best way for you to hear the word of God? For you to speak it out of your mouth. You know, there are times that I just sit there and I read out loud the word to myself. It gets me excited. This needs to be a part of our daily life. It changes the believer in you. And it starts with hope. It creates a hope in you. Did Jesus really become poor so that I could be rich? It says so in the word. I'm going to quote it. And you start believing it. And your life will start changing. Just based on not remarking, but remaking your life, your world, your situation. So if we start out just reading what the Lord says in the Word, then our faith's going to be built up. It's going to grow. We're going to gain confidence in what we're saying. And it will make the words that we say other than the Word of God, it'll make us believe it because we're speaking the positive things. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Oops. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. As you meditate on it, what's going to naturally happen? You're going to speak it out of your mouth. So the more you think about the positive things, the things that God desires for your life, and you focus in on that, you're meditating on it, you're murmuring, you're speaking it, you're talking about it. If all you can think about is, I hate this job, I hate this house, man, it's too small, it's not big enough, But if you think about the things that are lovely and pure and of good report, then what's going to come out of your mouth is, I'm blessed. This is just a temporary situation. It is subject to change, and it's changing right now. Man. Wherever your thoughts are predominantly going is going to be what you have. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So it's that inward man, that combination of your spirit and your soul where you're planting things. Are you spending time in the Word? Are you speaking those words? Are you talking it? Are you being positive? Are you edifying yourself? Are you building yourself up? No matter what your situation is, then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You can always tell when you're slipping if you start talking negative. And it needs to be something that you invite the Holy Spirit to, whenever I do that, tell me, let me know, so that I can change that. You know, some things take longer than just a day or two. Sometimes they take a whole month. Sometimes they take a year. Sometimes they take years. But you know what? The Word says that we're to run our race with patience. We're in a marathon, not a sprint. And let me encourage you. When I was talking, complaining, and murmuring, I would have to take control of myself and say, I cancel those words. Don't be afraid to cancel words. We're all here to learn. Cancel your words. Say, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, I am blessed. I am highly favored of God. I am the righteousness of God. He has good things planned for me. I'm coming out the other side. I'm going through this. God sends his words to change things, to change situations. He created light. He created this whole earth, the whole universe. And by the words that he spoke, our universe is growing exponentially, even now. We can't even see it. That doesn't change the fact that it's still growing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you're experiencing lack or problems, start speaking to it. Not speaking about it, not going to God and whining and complaining, but speak to it. There's a huge difference. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Thank you, Kenneth Hagin, for writing that. No, I'm just kidding. Let's just take a quick look at that. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Well, actually, it starts in 22. Let's do that. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." You may not have it in an hour, or a month, or a year, but God's word, everything that he has said in his word, has come to pass. It took over 4,000 years for Jesus to come in physical form on this earth. That doesn't negate the words that God spoke. Don't write your own script. Be dependent upon what God says about you. Boy, when God spoke that to me, I went, "Ooh, that's good." In other words, you don't have to come up with your own stuff. There is plenty in here of who you are in Christ. Speak that. Let's go to Numbers chapter 22. Lord, I am running out of time. Let's see if I can pick up the pace here. And this is the story about Balaam. Let's start in verse 5. Yeah, Numbers 22, verse 5. Balak, he's the king of the Moabites. He says, he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river of the land of the sons of the people, blah, 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 to call him, saying, "Look at the people that have come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth, and they are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once and curse these people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke the words of Balak. Now think about this. This is not, Balaam is not godly. But it says here that the king knew that whom he blessed was blessed, and who he cursed was cursed. Balaam had learned to only speak truth. And he actually did hear from God and spoke exactly what God spoke. Balaam was not accustomed to saying his own words. And we need to stop being accustomed to saying our own words. I know. A child of God can develop the same discipline that Balaam had. To him, his words were valuable. Kings and rich men came to him to speak over situations. How much more should the people of God be people that their words are valuable, that will speak over our economy, that will speak over our country and bring things to pass? the goodness of God, the blessing of God. This nation is blessed by God. So, step one here, Balaam, he knew when to keep his mouth shut. And he also believed that he could make the difference in his words between living and dying. And he wasn't even a prophet of God. Let's look at verse 37. Verse 37, I mean, you know, this goes on and on and on. I mean, you know, an angel came and spoke to him from a donkey, and I mean, you know, and said, hey, you know, I was here, I was going to kill you, I was going to strike you dead if you went and spoke anything that was against what I told you. But now look in verse 37. Then Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send you and call for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? And Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you, and now I have the power. Whoops. And now have I any power at all to say anything? Nope. The words that God puts in my mouth, that's what I must speak. And that's what we need to be. We are speaking spirits. The words that God puts in our mouth, that's what we're supposed to speak. Not our own thoughts, our own intentions, our own emotions, our own feelings, or our own comments on the situation and how desperate it looks. But we're supposed to speak words that God puts in us. You know, what I felt was interesting is that in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? There isn't anything in this word that isn't going to 100% come to pass. So we can trust that this is truth. So if we speak this and believe this, then who God says we are, that's who we are. What God says we can do, that's what we're going to do. You know, I found it interesting. I went through some historical books, and you know, eventually Balaam, his name became synonymous with a sellout. We don't want to be a sellout. He told the king how to get the Israelites to curse themselves. That did not make God happy. But what God has blessed, only that person can curse. God has blessed you, and only the words out of your mouth can curse what you're doing. That's important. You know, Jesus is the firstborn son. So we need to imitate and look at what he did and do those same things. Let's go to John chapter 8. Let's take a look at this. We're going to start in verse 3. And read down through 11. And this is the story about the woman caught in adultery. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and he wrote in the ground with his finger, as though he didn't hear. So when they continued asking him, He raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman was, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." This is a great example. According to the law, she should have been stoned and killed. But Jesus knew that it was a trick and a ploy to get people to not believe in him as the Messiah. Isn't it? It's pretty awesome. And notice, he stooped and he wrote in the ground. Don't you know he was praying in the Spirit going, "God, what do I say?" That's our next step. God, what do I say over this situation? We need to stop being so quick to blurt out our feelings and emotions. And notice that stone her wasn't an option, and she's fine. That greasy grace. Neither one of those was a good option. Notice how the Holy Spirit worked with that. He who's without sin casts the first stone at her. Would we think of something like that? Probably not. Not unless we're praying in the Spirit and saying, "God, what is it that we need to speak?" You know, in James it says that we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. When we don't know what to say, we shouldn't just blurt out anything. We may look a little foolish, but it's better to not say anything than to say the wrong thing. We can do this. If Jesus did it, it's available to us to do. Jesus came in as a man. And you know what? He didn't miss it in his words. We can do this. It's our choice. Let's look at John 12:49. Red letters, here's Jesus again. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me command what I should say and what I should speak." That's how we need to be. Like I said earlier, we need to be God dependent. We need to speak the things that God tells us to speak. And if we don't know how to answer somebody, it's better not to say anything. Will we look silly sometimes? Yeah, probably. But it's okay. The more we practice this, the better we're going to get. So, you know, I mean, the conversation could have gone 4 or 5 sentences way down over here, and you're like, "Well, I lost my opportunity. I wished I'd have said this," or, you know. But as you practice, "Lord, what is it that you want me to say?" It will come to you sooner and better. And we need to start focusing in on that. John 14:10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." This is how we need to be. He's the firstborn. He's the firstborn of many brethren. We can do this. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. If we're thinking those thoughts, those good reports, those pure thoughts, those we're meditating in the Word, that's what's going to come out of us. It's going to propel us to the God plan that He has for our lives. That's the plan that I want. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Will we be tempted to say things that we shouldn't? Absolutely. Sometimes it's just our own flesh. But you know, sometimes we can actually be tempted to talk something that we don't want to talk. And Satan came and tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. So let's look at what Jesus did. Starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what did he do? He became God-dependent, didn't he? He spent 40 days praying in the Spirit. His flesh was weak, but he went to what the Word says. And his flesh was as weak as it could be. How much more can we start saying the things that God says? Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle in the temple. And he said, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So Satan comes to him with the word. But it's a twisted word, isn't it? And Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, he even in his weakness, he sensed the twisting. In his weakness, don't you know that he was asking through the Holy Spirit, what do I say about this? He didn't try and do this himself. The word says that he was God the Father dependent. And the Holy Spirit came and ministered to him at the end of this. Verse 8, again the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. So, Jesus spoke the word and the truth about the situation. He spent time in the word, and he spent time with the Father. He spent time praying in the Spirit about it. It was first place in his life. So that even when his flesh was screaming out for relief, he went to the Word first. He took control over his mouth and he only spoke the Word that God told him to speak. This wasn't Jesus just trying something to see if it worked. You know, we're like I said earlier, we're not just a dumb animal. We're speaking spirits made in the likeness and the image of God. So if we'll be more selective with our words, we'll be more effective for the kingdom of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That it may impart grace to the hearers. That it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't look back at all the times you missed it, but allow that grace to be imparted to you. Not be afraid to cancel the words that you just said. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means no corrupt communication. Yeah, so I looked up the word corrupt. It says worthless or rotten, hurtful or harmful words. Now, it can be hurtful or harmful words to yourself. How many times do we self-talk ourselves? Or it can be hurtful, harmful words to somebody else. They're worthless and rotten words. Would you eat rotten food? No. The word edify, means to build up, to minister, or impart grace to others. It's something good or suitable that imparts grace to the hearers. You want to be the one that people come to speak over their situations. That's who we as the body of Christ are supposed to be. And they, in turn, will learn through you that they can speak the same things that you do, and you can teach them how to do it. That's called the multiplication factor. So, Lord, I want to thank you that you have made us speaking spirits and that you are setting a watch over our mouths right now. Father, I thank you that our desire is to say only the words that you tell us to say, to speak only the positive, good things that you have for us. Father, we allow the Holy Spirit to tell us when we speak those negative, non-productive words, so that we can correct ourselves, so that we can cancel those words, so that we can change who we are and where we're going and what you've called us to do. Father, I thank you that there is no condemnation in you. So we're not condemned, but we're desiring to change. We're desiring for that unity of the body so that we can take this nation back, so we can take this community back, so that we can speak life-giving words to each other and see us, each and every individual, reach the full potential that you have for us. Father, I thank you and I praise you. And I thank you that you're giving us in our hearts the ability to not be afraid to say, oops, I missed that. I'm canceling those words. Even in the face of people around us, that we wouldn't be ashamed to do that. But that we would be ultimately just being obedient to you. You know, your word says in Isaiah that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You will eat that good, life-giving fruit that you're speaking out of your mouth, and it will be good. And so, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that we're gonna be overcome with life-giving, good fruit. Not only that we can eat ourselves, but that we can give to others to eat and teach and show and train. So, Father, I just thank you for that. Father, I thank you that you're taking us to a new level this year. 2015 is going to be a new level of the body walking in unity. And helping each other. You know, it's every joint supplies to each other. And Father, I thank you that we're not afraid of that. That we're not in our hearts going, oh man, I'm gonna supply to the pinky, and I don't like the pinky so much. but that we treasure each other as the body, and that we're not going to withhold those good and positive things that you have for people. It's not based on how we feel or what our emotions say, but it's based on you and your love for them. That's what we're going to speak. So I thank you, Father, for words that edify. I thank you that you edify us through your word. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you that as we learn this, we're going to step into a whole new realm. I'm so excited for 2015, Lord. I am so excited for where we're going and what we're going to do with you, with our dependence totally on you, where we're leaning into you and trusting in you to hold all of our weight. You know, I was reading about the Gothic archways, and you know what's so special about them? Is that the way that the stones were placed in the Gothic archways was that each stone relied upon the other to hold each other up. And when they became, when the stones were placed like that, they became stronger as a group than each individual stone. That's who God created us to be. To be attached to each other and be willing to speak those good things over each other. You know, God's really been changing my heart these past few months. And God is kicking it up a notch, or 10, or 20. Thank you, God. Yay, God. But I'm telling you, he wouldn't be bringing this up right now if there wasn't something that he was wanting to accomplish. And it seems like everywhere I turn my head, everything that I hear, you know, like Andy, you know, he's got the internet radio and he has an earbud that he listens to at night. Well, I just plunk it in. Now, granted, I may make it 30 seconds, you know, about the time for me to go like that in my pillow and I'm gone, you know. But praise God, you know, what little bits of truth I hear, I'm constantly looking for avenues to hear those truths. And every time if I wake up in the middle of the night, somebody is teaching about the power of our tongue, the words of our mouths, recreating our lives through what God has planned for us. So there is something in the spirit realm. And if we'll take it seriously, we're going to go to new heights and new levels. So if anybody has any prayer needs, need healing in your body or anything like that, why don't you come up here and we'll be more than happy to pray for you. If I could get some helpers come up too.